Dale Durkles of AgriVisor in Bloomington, Illinois, now joins us. First, Dale, thanks so much for filling in. Do appreciate that.
Yeah, it's always good to help you guys, you know.
All right. So tell me your view of the marketplace. It's a nice turnaround today. Is that all having to do with the little bump in crude oil?
You know, I think, you know, when we look back, maybe this week we might end up having a psychological shift in attitude. And, yeah, what you're seeing is strength in grains by and large in a large sense is rooted in crude oil and commodities in general. Crude oil up $2 as we're speaking. You know, commodity indices, the one I keep an eye on, the old CRBs, up 6 full points this morning. But, you know, within that, you know, we had good export sales for corn today, you know, 45 million bushel. That really kind of shifted the attitude a little bit. Interestingly enough, there's also a rumor floating around the trade. Don't know what to make of it yet, that China bought a couple of cargoes of U.S. corn. You know, there's some talk in here that people over there, the domestic users, aren't satisfied with quality of the domestic stuff. Bean export sales were reasonably good, too, 36 million bushel. Much of that, as you can expect, probably into China. Wheat tends to still be a drag, though, only 13 million.
So it's about the export market, generally speaking. Do you think China and its economy, as it slows, I don't know whether I want to say any more than other than it's slower than it has been, will be using enough soybeans from the planet to make the soybean market work again for this fiscal year?
You know, we have such big bean supplies around, whether you talk our crop or the one coming in South America, although, you know, you still have some question marks because we're still in the midst of the growing season down there about how big that crop is. We do have plenty of supply to meet the kind of demand that they're going to have. But I think the one overriding thing we got to continue to step back and address is that demand continues to, out of China and the world as a whole, for proteins continues to come in a little bit higher than what people generally think or generally expect early on in a marketing year. So from a demand aspect, you know, I look at the bean complex really still from a positive aspect.
So if you look back historically, what has happened with our ending stocks once we get into September, October, November for soybeans for the last couple of years have been really pretty big. But by the time we get to the end of the marketing year, China has been in so much that those stocks have dwindled sharply. Do you think that'll happen again this year?
I think we're still on stream for that. And I've had some discussions with the people at USDA. And we'll have to see where this whole conversation goes. But, you know, when you look back at the last 25 years from May or August, depending on your starting point, you know, to that final ending stocks number for beans, you know, we've lost something about 80 to 100 million bushel on average. And there's been a lot more times that they've underestimated than they've overestimated that demand itself. So I think we're still on that track again at this point. I was frankly surprised here in the last S&D report. They actually lowered their export number a little bit. I think that was in adherence to, you know, a big South American crop. But when you look at the sales and the shipment pace, it certainly says we can exceed that at this point, too. So I think we're still going to see the ending stocks come down from where they are.
You have been an advocate, I'm fairly certain, of farmers locking in the basis. I don't know whether that would be for both corn or soybeans, but can you talk about your cash position at this time?
You know, I can do it for both corn and beans unless you start reaching out into the western parts of the Corn Belt. You know, they don't have wildly attractive basis. That's just a function of where the crops were this last year. But I still think that's true. You know, when you look at the beans and some of the basis levels that we have, and you're dealing especially with a flat futures market, March corn at 883, July at 887, you really, or March beans, pardon me, you really don't have any carry in the market. So if you set up a basis contract, you probably really want to tie that out to July if you can, to give your time to go ahead and finish that pricing process, because that'll keep you open well into the month of June. You know, corn, the same story, you know, although maybe it's not quite as lucrative because I've got about 9 cents of carry between March and July. So, you know, I'm locking in a basis. It's still going to put me a little bit under July. But the beauty about, using a basis contract is most of them pay you 60, 70, maybe even 80% cash up front. A lot of them you move the grain up front, but yet you still keep that futures component open. So I even, in terms of corn, as a way to generate cash, I think it's a great tool to use as long as I'm locking in what I'll call a reasonable basis.
Do you think many producers use it?
I think there's been quite a few that have used it this year. You know, the few times that I've been out in here since the holidays, which haven't really been a lot, but I've had a lot of people really ask me about it. I get, you know, some comments coming back from people, and even, you know, the guys down in Midco Commodities, you know, I get this sense that there have been a number of people really using that as a tool this year.
Does it make a difference in what the trade, and I don't know whether there would be, it would if there's enough marketed, but does it make a difference in what the trade sees as available supply?
Well, I don't know that it really does that, because it really doesn't change the overall supply that much. You know, it kind of generates and gets some of this movement going into the pipeline early on. If you go ahead and put a lot of stuff on the basis contract, some of them are different, you know, depending on where you work. If I tie a bean basis against July, maybe they don't want delivery until, you know, May or something like that. But, you know, a lot of them you actually go ahead and change over the physical ownership up front as it is. And so it is keeping that marketplace well supplied. But, you know, the market, just in terms of the flat cash price, is having a difficult time really generating sales to them because of the low price level. So it's a way for the commercial end to generate that physical need.
Anything else that we ought to discuss this morning? And I look forward to talking with you again this afternoon, too.
I think the big thing today, though, is really the psychological shift and how we end up trading out through the end of the day in crude oil and commodity indices, and the overall impact that has back into the psychology of grain prices.
We'll watch it and check back with you after the close. Thanks so much, Dale.
Good talking to you.
Dale Durkles is with AgriVisor. He's out of Bloomington, Illinois. He joins us here on the Mid-Morning Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You can hear him again at willag.org. That's willag.org.